This isn't how we usually do it, but no, we don't need microphones. We'll just, if people get rowdy, we'll just,
walk out.
Oh, like call, I'll be like, and like Chuck will come up here, okay. And he'll take care of them.
Okay, cool.
So Bentley, did you hear what I said? Mr. Chuck's on standby. All right. So everyone, welcome to the Stories of God's People talk show for, featuring Dr. J or Jerry. Yes. Thank you all for being here.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask Jerry or Dr. J. I'm just going to call you Jerry. It's just what happens in my head.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's up to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask Jerry some questions. And he's just going to share. He's going to answer my questions, hopefully. Jerry, I think, was once a middle schooler and high schooler.
At one time, I was.
What was it like to be a middle schooler when you were a middle schooler?
Well, first, Silas, I want to thank you for having me here. And I want to thank all of you for being here. I just want you all to know how special I think it is that you all come here, hang out, and spend time with each other and learn about Jesus. I think it's really cool. So I want to say, you all yourselves.
I do want to say, though, Jerry was making fun of our dancing, though.
I do want to say that.
It felt like he was.
I admired it.
He sounded very impressive.
It was very good. If you can't hear me, tell me to speak up.
But you can use the microphone if you want.
Can everybody hear me?
No.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
So what was it like being a
middle schooler, Jerry?
Well, I think it's probably like a lot of you who are in middle school, high school. Probably felt a lot of the same ways as you all. I grew up in like Northeast Pennsylvania in like the mountains. So we had a really like diverse high school and people from a lot of different places like New York and Philadelphia. And so like everybody was from somewhere different. And I think one of the things that it was unique about being in middle school is everybody's like identity was like where they are from. Because nobody was from where I was from originally. And I was from Philadelphia. And so everybody was kind of transplanted from all over the place. And so everyone's like identity was like where they're from. And like the cool kids were from like Brooklyn, New York. Like you didn't mess with the Brooklyn, New York kids. And then there was like the New Jersey kids. They thought they were pretty cool. And then like Philadelphia was like not as cool. So I was a Philadelphia kid. So there's like a lot of identity in like where you were from. And so I think, but you know, I think a lot of the time, the way I felt in middle school, was like very much looking at myself and how other people thought about me and trying to find my identity with who I hung out with or where I was from so other people would accept me. I didn't want to stand out. I always wanted to fit in like really, really bad. I wanted everyone to like me like really, really, really bad. So I never wanted to upset anybody. And so I was kind of like a people pleaser and would go along with the crowd, whether it was like a good idea or a bad idea. Just kind of like follow my friends group. I had like a good friends group, but like sometimes we would just do silly things that would get us in trouble that we're not very, very good all the time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And it's funny, like you talk about the desire to want to fit in because, I mean, you went to middle school before I did, and I went to middle school before these people did, but that's like a timeless truth, I feel like, of just wanting to fit in.
Yeah.
I remember I wanted to fit in middle school, desperately, you know? And I'm sure some of us do, too.
Yeah, it was a huge pressure. I think if I were to characterize it, it was like very much just wanting to be liked and not stand out or be criticized or made fun of. Like, that was like my defense, like just defending against that, like at all costs, was what I was like really focused on. It was very much like looking at me and what other people thought of me for many years.
Do you feel like what in high school was your experience similar, or what was high school like then?
Yeah, I think it was similar. I mean, even through college, I think, and even today, I mean, I still struggle with that a lot of like being accepted in like identity, right? And you know, in middle school and high school and even parts of college, I didn't really have a strong relationship with Jesus. Like, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know how God was working in my life until I got a little older and started being around other people who had experienced Jesus' love and meeting people whose identity was Jesus and not where they were from or who they hung out with or what sport they played or what car they drove or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought those people were just really fascinating.
Yeah.
really radically different people than I had been around. It was just drawn to them.
Yeah. And how that kind of centered around identity and their identity being in Jesus. And that stuck out to you because what you saw in middle school and high school and college even and even like adult life, what you saw is people finding their identity in other things.
Yeah.
And even yourself, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like looking back, I felt like people were looking at me, but realizing a lot of people around me are looking at themselves too and struggling in the same ways.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a hard time loving other people because I was trying to love myself so much.
Yeah.
And so because I was didn't feel like accepted.
Yeah.
And so when you don't feel accepted, you're constantly trying to preserve yourself, and so then you can't really love or see the people around you.
Yeah. I want to hear in a second. I want to maybe hear more of like maybe significant moments in your life that like changed the trajectory of, sorry, I can't really pronounce that word, of like what really, like were there specific people or moments that really like turned you to like a life of faith and knowing Jesus? But before you share that, do you have any like funny or embarrassing or like, I guess, super impactful memories from middle school or high school? One or two?
Embarrassing?
It doesn't have to be embarrassing, just impactful, fun.
I will share that. It was embarrassing for all the wrong reasons looking back, and you all may not think this is that embarrassing, but when I went to high school, my first car that I had was an old pickup truck that I got. I thought the pickup truck was really cool. It really wasn't roadworthy, and it had a big sticker on the back that said cowgirl. And so one day, I was like, I will get this sticker off. But I still wanted to drive it to school, like the first day I had it, and I could go to school. And so the truck actually broke down the first day I had it in the parking lot. No. So all my friends came out, saw me in my broken down truck with cowgirl on the back. And I couldn't have felt more embarrassed. Like all the things that I was protecting myself against, like being maybe laughed at or like being less than. It was like all in that moment. I was like, it's happening right now. Yeah. This is so big. You all may not think that's that embarrassing, but for me in that moment was really, really embarrassing because there were other kids with really cool cars and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and so that was really embarrassing in high school.
Yeah. Now I feel like driving a pickup truck with a big like sticker that says cowgirl on the back would be like a cool thing.
Kind of. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, now it's cool.
Yeah.
It's like vintage. We had a big like cafeteria and had a glass window and they're like, people like looking out to see what was happening.
What does that say?
The cowgirl.
Who's getting out of that truck?
Yeah. So it's like the truck was smoking and like, it's just not cool to have your car break down.
No, that's school. Mm-hmm. It was broken and didn't have a sticker that you wanted there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is embarrassing.
How embarrassing? This embarrassing? This embarrassing? 10? 10? You give it a 10?
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
Cool. Thank you. All right. So now I guess getting back to what kind of shifts in your life or can you point to like some specific moments or people that you really were like, oh, this like God is real and or Jesus is real. And I want to know more or know him.
Yeah. I love those stories when people are like, that was the moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not my story.
Yeah.
That's not how I've come to know Jesus and put my faith in Jesus. It wasn't like a flash and everything was different.
Yeah.
So growing up, I went to church like a good bit of time growing up. My parents divorced when I was in middle school, which was really hard. Talking about feeling like less than, right? Like really shook what my foundation was, which was like my family at the time. But shortly after my parents got divorced, my dad would take me to church and we would pray together, but like one of the things that became really confusing was my dad used alcohol a lot. And so it was really confusing for me, my experience going to church and like hearing the gospel and then living with someone who was kind of living differently than that. So I had a very disorienting, confusing experience learning about Jesus. So as I got older though, my brother actually came to know Jesus like in his own way, through friends, and he started to share with me the gospel, and it really just got me thinking. And he was just living a different life than our people in my family were living, and so I just really was interested in what that change was in him.
Yeah,
and in a lot of really interesting ways, you know, God moved to bring us closer together and spend more time together, which we hadn't really in our life. And so it was pretty miraculous, like, that he and I were spending this time together talking about Jesus. And even then, I wouldn't say that was, like, the moment that changed everything for me. But really started, like, God started, like, I really started to see God working in my life and praying more. And then, again, even then, I still struggled with me and, like, my self-centeredness and looking at myself. But I saw more and more, I would spend time with God and reading the Bible and going to church more and more. Not, like, regularly, but more and more, and spending time with God's people. And so that started just kind of, like, chip away. I really feel like it was, like, a chipping away kind of experience for me to really accept Jesus as my Savior and put my faith in him in my life. And so it was, and it still is. It's still, like, I don't know if you guys talk about, like, sanctification.
Talk about it.
Yeah, but, you all at some point during this, we'll learn about sanctification. But the way that God works to make us more righteous and bring us closer to him. And so that's a little bit of my story. And I think really I've came to Hope Church like 6 or 7 years ago now, 6 years ago. And really my faith has been so strengthened just by being around a community of believers and God's people and just learning how they love and seeing how they love and seeing how they love Jesus and live a life where they fully accept and believe that Jesus is real. And so they live that way. And so that was different for me. And so it really has moved me to really rethink life and who I am and where I really belong, which is with God. So
I think that your story is so, like, important, because I think, like, there are stories of people who have some sort of, like, miraculous encounter with Jesus and their life is, like, changed from that moment. Like, we've heard some people share, like Bubba, right? But a lot of actually, probably, I know my experience feels more just like a chipping away, right? Like, oh, I hear about Jesus. I grew up in, like, a Christian home, so, like, it's and where my dad's a pastor, and but still, like, my own personal story of, like, coming to know Jesus for myself wasn't just like that. And I can look back and think of moments that definitely, like, impacted me and encouraged me along in my faith. But what it really feels like is a chipping away, where every day, well, some days it feels like I'm going back, and then some days it feels like I'm drawing closer to God, and I think that's, like, an experience that's important, even though maybe it's not as exciting or flashy to tell. I think it's maybe a lot of our experiences, so it's important to, like, name that and be able to see that we're not alone in, oh, I haven't had an amazing, miraculous experience, but, you know, that's not needed to follow Jesus or to know Jesus. It can feel like a struggle sometimes, or a lot of the time, and we aren't just made perfect, but there's sanctification and a chipping away. Yeah.
And so much of it was, you alluded to, I think, when you started kind of this portion of youth group, but, when you started singing, you mentioned, like, understanding what faith is about, right? And so much when I, like, started my walk with Jesus was so much about me and what I'm getting out of it. And as I've matured in my faith, it's I'm at a place where I'm excited to tell other people and share the gospel more, which I think we see from the gospel is really what we are made for. Mm-hmm. And so I see you have, like, mission trips coming up. And so that's, and also what that looks like, right? Sharing the gospel, we can do that in a lot of ways, which I've also learned as I've matured. It's not just preaching or telling somebody, but it's being present with somebody and being there with somebody showing up sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe and more words.
Right? Yeah. So. Yeah. And Jesus demonstrates that with his, like, Jesus, like, that's who Jesus is, right? I mean, a person, a God who laid down his life for those around him in every way, you know? That's awesome. I don't want to put you on the spot, Jerry, but have you had, like, specific passages or books of the Bible or, like, a verse or something that has had, like, a more of an impact on your life or on your faith?
Yeah, I mean, I think the passages that stick out to me most are anytime that you hear, you hear Jesus tell his disciples to be still. You hear Moses tell the Israelites to be still. And so those passages, and when we get this picture of stillness in the Bible, is like really, it's like so required of us sometimes. Most of the time, it just feels like a summation of my life of trying to figure things out on my own, wrestle through life on my own. And it's just not the call at all. It's not to do everything on our own.
Yeah.
It's actually the opposite. It's to be still and put our faith and rest in a good father who loves us. And then, you know, I think a lot of it comes back to parenthood too. And you're going through this. And I won't get into parenthood because I don't think any of you are parents, but no parents. But yeah, I mean, you get to see a picture of that with children and a father's love. And so I love that picture we get in the gospel, in the gospels, of the way that Jesus encourages disciples to be still and put their faith and rest in him.
Yeah.
I just need that reminder all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just constantly fighting.
Yeah.
Swimming and trying to do it myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's even just counter to like what our culture or what our world says, right? It's like about hustle and bustle and making sure we put our best selves out there. So we're working for that. And, but the call of the Christian life is one to be still.
Yeah. I have a really hard time being still.
Yeah.
It's harder than ever, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I get a moment where I could be still, I have a phone that I can just look at and play games on. And
yeah.
It's hard to be still.
Should we be still right now?
Well, in a second. you will you will have an opportunity to be still.
Right.
Just a final question. Do you have any, if you could just give any, like, advice or, I guess that's a fine word to use. Like, what kind of advice would you give to middle schoolers and high schoolers today? To these middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Yeah. My advice is to, that's such a hard
one. Or encouragement, advice, encouragement.
Yeah.
And you can preface it with being like, this isn't the only advice I would give you.
Yeah.
So the pressure's off you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe advice I wish I had gotten.
Sure, yeah, that's great.
Advice
yeah.
I wish I'd gotten.
Yeah.
In my struggling to be still would be still. Really rest, knowing that you have a good father who is wanting you. I had not a great earthly father, but I find a lot of peace now in that our heavenly father, there is a heavenly father outside of this universe that loves you very much and wants you. All you have to do is just be still and let him come near because he is pursuing you in everywhere you go. So that's what I wish I heard more of because I did not know that.
Yeah.
For so long in my life.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah. Let me pray, and then I'll tell you what we're gonna do, which is what we always do every week. All right. Let me pray first. God, thank you so much for all the stories that we've got to hear of your people from the past 4 or 5 weeks, and we especially thank you today for Jerry and the ways that you have just continued to show up in his life, in the misplacement of identity, of looking inwardly and into other things for meaning and for safety and comfort and protection, we see ourselves in this too. I mean, we thank you just for Jerry's honesty and vulnerability that we can see ourselves in, and also for the story of your faithfulness and how he continues to find belonging in you, even though it's a chipping away and it's not an smooth or easy flowy path. It's a chipping. Your faithfulness is chipping away and slowly drawing us all into belonging with you. And we thank you for that truth and that promise. So we just ask in these next few moments too that you would help our hearts be still. And just as we reflect on what Jerry has said, and as we just get to have time to pray with one another, or pray silently, or even connect with Jerry, would you just help our hearts be still and speak to us? So we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.